Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, my dear friends. Please turn with me to the Gospel of John. And our study in this session is John chapter 11, verses 17 to 40. The theme of John chapter 11, of course, is the resurrection of Eliezer, of Lazarus. It is interesting to learn from this 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, how our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, sought to develop, to increase, to raise the trust in Him. First of all, the trust of the disciples, the Talmidim, to trust in Him and to believe that He is indeed the Messiah. Secondly, in this 11th chapter, to have the increase of the faith in Him of the two sisters, namely Martha and Miriam. And also, thirdly, at the end of the chapter, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah seek to have the Jewish individuals who came to the family in Bethany to trust in Him, to believe in Him. And we can even add, beloved friend, that the Lord Jesus seek for all to trust in Him, but those of us that have accepted Him to trust in Him and to grow in appreciation of who He is and what He has done in order to provide salvation for mankind. The passage, of course, in this session is found in John chapter 11, and from verse 17 to verse 40. And here we have the how the Lord strengthened the faith of Miriam and Martha, Mary and Martha, of the town called Beit Oni. And so we read in verse 17. Then when Yeshua came, He found that this is Eliezer Lazarus, lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Yeshua was coming, went and met Him, but Miriam sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Yeshua says unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha says unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yeshua said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She says unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said this, she went her way and called Miriam, her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Miriam, that she arose up hastily, and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Miriam was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Yeshua Bacha. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Yeshua therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Yeshua said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God? And my dear friend, I will stop here with this verse 40, and in the will of the Lord, we'll continue in our next session to deal with this last portion of John chapter 11, specifically with the resurrection of Eliezer, of Lazarus, from the grave. And so in this session, we are continuing in the study of the Gospel of John, which, as we have explained many times, once and again, that this Gospel was written to emphasize before us the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, as the whole fourth Gospel, this fourth Gospel of John, began with, In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Mimra in Hebrew, and the Mimra, the Logos, was with God, and the Word was God, and the Mimra and the Logos was God. And then verse 14 of John chapter 1, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We learn that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is that eternal God who took union humanity with His divine nature. We also emphasize in our study of the Gospel of John that at the end of the Gospel, in this 20th chapter, we read, And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So once and again, we can see in the writing, as we read the Gospel of John, that the emphasis is faith, believing on Him, that He is the Messiah, Ben Elohim Chaim, the Son of the Living God. And that is important because if He was not the Eternal Son, if He was not the promised Messiah, how can anyone be redeemed and forgiven? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and someone had to pay for our sin and sins, and this someone must be much more than just another ordinary man, because He has to pay for our sin. He must be sinless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And indeed, God entered into this world in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, became a man, took upon himself to pay for the sin of this world. And indeed, as we're going to arrive to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, we will see how indeed Yeshua did bear the sin of this world and said, "It is finished. It is finished." The work of redemption had been completed once he died on that shameful Roman cross. Well, in this passage, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, is strengthening this time the faith of these two sisters of Eliezer. To remind you, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, that in the first 16 verses of John chapter 11, he received information from someone that was sent by the two sisters that Lazarus is sick. And, of course, Yeshua said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This was the first four verses of John 11. Now, of course, we learn that Yeshua did not return, did not come to Bethany immediately. He remained away from Bethany another 2 days, and then, after those 2 days, he began his journey now back to Bethany. In the meanwhile, he have heard that the Eliezer, that Lazarus have died. And so we read that in verse 11, these things he said, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep." We have read this in our previous verses, the first 16 verses, and now when we arrive to verse 17 of John chapter 11, the Yeshua have come now to Bethany, and when we read verse 17, 18, and 19, Yeshua and his disciples arrived to Beth Onya. In Hebrew, the word Beth Onya, Bethany in the English, the word Ani is in Hebrew poor, but also Onya has to do with being afflicted. It is the house, Beit Onya, affliction, or the house of poverty. And so here we have in verse 17 that when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in a grave for 4 days already. Well, to remind you that it take about 2 days' journey to arrive to Beth Onya, to Bethany. And as we have already read in verse 6, that he remained about 2 more days, he remained away from Bethany, and then it took him these 2 days' journey to arrive there. So this is the 4 days that we have in verse 17. So by now, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend Eliezer, which has such a beautiful meaning to his name. Eli means my God. Ezer means my help, helper. My God is help to me. My help is from my God. To remind you that Eli is that which Yeshua cried on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So the meaning of Eliezer is my God is help. Eliezer, help is found in my God. What a beautiful name Eliezer has. And so we read in verse 18, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. This is about 2 miles, it's about 3 kilometers, is going down the slope from Mount Moriah, climbing up to Mount Olives, and on one of the portions of the hills of Mount Olives, Har HaZeitim, you have this very nice town called Beth Onya, Bethany. That's where Miriam, Martha, and Eliezer lived. Very close to the city of Jerusalem. The Jewish community of Bethania was there, and the people are all knowing one another, and you can see now in verse 19 that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Someone passed away, the whole town, the whole village, whether it is from Jerusalem, that was only a few kilometers, and all from the actual town and city of Bethany, the Jewish community have come together to comfort the family of Eliezer, of Martha and Mary, Miriam. And so in these three verses, we can see that they would come to the family. Now, just to help us all, there is a custom that have been over the many, many generations in our Jewish history, from the time that Jacob died, that a custom is to sit for 7 days on the ground as a sign of a mourning for the person who passed away, who died. Let me just remind you that when Joseph mourned for his father in the land of Canaan, after he took his body from Egypt and brought it to the land of Canaan, we read in chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, in verse 9 and 10, there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was very great company. He was now bringing his father Yaakov, whose name was changed to Israel. He is bringing Israel to be buried in the land of Canaan. And we read that there were great company that came with Yosef. And all the family came to bury Yaakov, to bury Israel in the land of Canaan. In verse 10 we read, and they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan. This is in Canaan, in Canaan. And there they mourn with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made, this is Yosef, made a mourning for his father, this is his father Israel, for 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. And they thought that Yosef was an Egyptian coming from Egypt. Of course, therefore, the name of it was called Evel Mitzrayim, which is beyond the Jordan. The people of Canaan, assuming that the people that came from Egypt, namely Yosef, his family, and all the family of the sons of Israel who came to bury their father in the promised land, the land of Canaan, they mourned for him for 7 days. Similarly, my dear brothers and sisters, when Job was experiencing this affliction, we read in Job chapter 2 that Job's friends also mourned for him for 7 days. Even though Job did not die then, but the mourning was Shiva'at Yamin. That's why in Hebrew we call it Shiva'ah. Shiva'ah means the seven. And it's very well known for the mourning for the one that passed away. We're still doing it today in our Jewish home, in our Jewish family, when any member of our family, like my father or my mother, and any one of our family members who passed away, there is a custom to come to the home of the family and to sit in identifying with the family of their sorrow for 7 days. We read in verse 12 and 13 of Job 2, when they lifted up their eyes afar off, this is the friends of Job, Eov, and they knew him not, they lifted up their voice and they wept, and they rent their, every one of them, his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, Shiva'at Yamin, and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. And since these days of Yaakov Israel, the father of our people of Israel, the custom among the Jewish community is to mourn for the one who passed away for 7 days. And you can just imagine, here the Jewish community from all over heard that Eliezer died, so naturally they are coming, and here we see in verse 19 of John 11, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. In these 7 days, they would bring food, they will help the family, and they will want them to just take the time and realize the passing away of their brother. But you notice, my dear brothers and sisters, here Yeshua is now coming to this very same town of Bethany, and the purpose that he had in his heart is to reveal to all that he himself is the resurrection and the life. After all, he is the eternal Son of God. He is the Mashiach. He is the promised one to come and to provide redemption for mankind. And you notice, as we will study this 11th chapter, he would raise one man that was dead, but then later on will die for the sin of this world, because sin brought death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. And to remind you that he already said to his disciples in verse 11, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, meaning the sleep of death, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I'm going that I will raise him from dead. And that is what the Lord Yeshua the Messiah wanted to reveal to his disciples in the first 16 verses, and now to reveal this to the two sisters of Eliezer. And so in verses 20 to verse 27 of John chapter 11, Martha comes out to Yeshua, and Yeshua himself present himself to her as the resurrection in the life. This is so important, because after all, my dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus indeed is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that is the source of life. He is the source of life. In Hebrew, he is calling himself Hatkuma veHachaim. Anochi Hatkuma veHachaim. I am the resurrection and the life. And so notice, in the next verses, from verse 20 to verse 27, Martha, therefore, comes to him, and you notice what it says in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Yeshua was coming, went and met him, but Mary, that is Miriam, sat still in the house. So Martha comes out. You can see that there is a difference between Miriam and Martha in their personalities. Just the same as there are different personalities in each and every one of us. There are different reactions to situation and circumstances in our life. But from here we learn that each one of us take a situation, especially as death in a family, in a different way. Yet, what a wonderful Savior, Mashiach, Messiah we have, who comes to encourage these two sisters and to reveal himself as the resurrection and the life. So Martha, as soon as she heard it, verse 20, she is coming out. She is going to meet Yeshua while Miriam stays at home. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Notice, by the way, that the same expression will be said by Miriam in verse 32, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Both of them believed in him. Both Miriam and Martha and Mary, both of them believed that Yeshua is the Messiah, and yet each one of them reacted differently to the circumstance of the passing away of their brother Eliezer. So she said, Lord, if you have been here, verse 21, what a commendable faith in him that she had, if you have been here, my brother had not died. In other words, she believed that the Lord, Yeshua, could raise him from his sickness. After all, we have already looked over some of the earlier portions in the Gospel of John, when there was that man in chapter 5 that was he had an infirmity for 38 years. Yeshua said to him in verse 8 of John 5, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. So the Lord could raise Lazarus out of his sickness, because he was sick. But he didn't come as soon as they wanted him to come. He delayed purposely for 2 days, and he came another 2 days together, 4 days, for the purpose that he will raise up Lazarus. To remind you that the blind man of John chapter 9, when he was for so many years from his birth blind, what we find Yeshua doing to him? He had spat on the ground, John 9:6. He made clay of his spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Shiloach, in Hebrew, Siloam, sent, which is by interpretation sent, and he went his way, therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing. So, they believed that he was able to heal the sick, to feed a multitude, to turn the water into wine. The blind could see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear, the dumb can speak. But here we find out that Yeshua the Messiah will raise the dead. So notice, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, what a commendable words of faith that we see here when Martha said to him, Lord, notice she called him Adon or Adoni, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. John 11 and verse 21, Adoni, lu haita po imanu velo met achi, if you were here, my brother would have not died. What a commendable trust in the Lord that she had. And that was, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, in the midst of a time where she is in sorrow, her brother Eliezer, whom she loved dearly, passed away. He may have been the one that was the head of the family. Apparently they lived in the same home, and he was maybe the source of income, the source of a support for the family, and now he is no longer with them. Discouragement may have come in. Disappointment may come in. She was waiting for the Messiah, Yeshua, to come, and he didn't come. He delayed. And now he's coming, and still she trusted in the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. If thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And so notice in verse 22, she believed that the Lord's power, he was able to heal, but she did not think that now Yeshua is going to raise her brother. This is something that is beyond the norm. Beyond the norm. Over the generation, the many, many miracles have happened in the history of the people of Israel, but it was not a common thing of the resurrection of the dead. Though in the history of Israel, God did raise, use the prophets to raise dead in past history, in the day of Elijah and Elisha. Notice verse 22, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it to thee. She said, if you were here, my brother would not die, but I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, He will give it unto you. Yeshua said unto her in verse 23, thy brother, listen to this, it is amazing to hear this expression directly from the word of the Lord when her brother was already in the tomb, in the grave for 4 days. Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, says unto Martha in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. This is the word of the Lord to Martha. He wanted her to continue on and to trust Him that He will raise Eliezer, her brother. Notice He says, thy brother. He's making it very personal. He didn't only say Eliezer will rise. No, but your brother, thy brother, he will rise again. And so in verses 24, Martha responds. Notice what Martha is saying to him. She was assuming, knowing somewhat of the Hebrew scripture and the promises of God to Israel, that there will be the resurrection of the dead, as the prophet Daniel and the prophet Yeshayahu have mentioned it in the history of the Jewish people in days of old. Martha said unto him in verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last days. Now, it is important to understand, dear brothers and sisters, that God did promise that there will be a future resurrection. In Daniel chapter 12, we read in the first few verses, when Daniel and the people of Judah were still in Babel, Daniel received revelation from Michael, the angel. We read, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Daniel received this information. And there shall be a time of trouble, speaking about the tribulation period, once the church age will come to fruition. The church, the assembly, the true believers will be raptured, taken out of here before the time of trouble, these 7 years of the tribulation. And we read here, as Daniel received this information in that vision that he received from the Lord, and we read here that Michael will stand up, that great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of great trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. In other words, God is going to deliver His people, Israel, the remnant of Israel, at the end of the tribulation period. This is Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. And here we have a time of trouble, Daniel 12 and verse 1. God is going to deliver the people of Israel, and ultimately to, notice what it says, those that be written in this book, he said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God promised the people of Israel that there will be a time at the end of the tribulation period. Those that have died in faith from among the nation of Israel, they will rise to enter into the Messianic kingdom. This is an amazing promise that we have in Daniel chapter 12. Isaiah spoke to the people of Judah also, and in chapter 26, Isaiah wrote concerning the future day, thy dead men shall live together, verse 19 of Isaiah 26, With my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of cherubs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Wonderful promise was given as well to Daniel, to Isaiah, but also to Hosea, through the promise Hosea, through the prophet Hosea to the people of Israel concerning the future day. And here, notice that Martha, knowing her Hebrew scriptures, she said, I know that he, this is Eliezer, shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day, at the last day. And Yeshua said unto her, notice what the Lord Jesus the Messiah is saying unto her, and this is once again, my dear brothers and sisters, is one of these expressions, I am, ani, I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3, what God gave that his name was Jehovah, I am that I am. This is what you're going to say to the children of Israel. You will tell them that I am have sent thee unto you. This is my name, he said to Moses to tell the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And the Lord God moreover said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation. And here we see the God-man, the Messiah Yeshua, the Lord of glory, the Redeemer of mankind, is expressing to Martha who he is, in John 11, verse 25, Yeshua said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Anochi hatkuma vehachayim. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Yeshua? Jesus is saying unto Martha. Let me remind you. In John 6 verse 35, Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. In John 8 verse 12, Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. In John 10 verse 9, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 10 verse 11, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And now, beloved brothers and sisters, in John 11 and verse 25, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah says, I am the resurrection and the life. Ani hu hatkuma vehachaim. Then he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now notice, he that believeth, again, he that believeth in me, it is important to believe on the person of the Lord. And why? Once again, we emphasize this again. Because we cannot only say that we believe in God, though it is important. But if one believe in God, how can a holy God allow one who say that he believe or she believe on him, allow him to come into his presence if he or she are sinners and we all have sinned? So that's why it is important to understand who Yeshua is. He is God who became a man. And as man, he died for the sin of this world. So, if one believe in God, he must believe in God, the Son who became a man and paid for our sins. So that's why once and again, Yeshua called himself, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth again in me, he shall never die. These expressions are very important to understand in verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, who can raise the dead? Who can give life? God is the source of life. If you remember, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend, when God created Adam out of the dust of this earth, He breathed unto him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, you and I are people who receive life from God. Without Him, we cannot breathe. Even our day-by-day life, it is only through Him, through God. In Genesis 2:7, we read, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You see, you and I, today, as we breathe, right this moment, we breathe a breath that was given to us by God. You know, the apostle Shaul Paul, when he was preaching the message of the gospel, of the glad tidings, the good news, in Athens, in Mars Hill, when he spoke concerning the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, he said to the people in Athens, for in Him, this is in the Lord, this is in God, we live and move and have our being. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 17. In other words, without God giving us the breath of life, we cannot live, we cannot move, we cannot be. It is He who gives us life. And that's why it is so important to understand. This is not easy for us who are Jewish and coming from a Jewish background, especially today, because we have been always taught, and truly we have been taught, that there is only one God. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The truth of the triunity is not as understood. And now that we have the complete canon of scripture, both the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, and the Brit HaKadasha, the New Covenant, and together we receive so much more information concerning the triunity of the Godhead, it is now that we can get additional information concerning the person of the Son, God the Son who became a man. Now, of course, even today in many cults and many groups, people do not understand it, do not accept it, and reject the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, is a divine person, even with all the information that they have from the complete canon of the Word of God. But yet it is so important and so clear for us to understand that unless God will pay for our sins through the person of the Son who became a man, we will never be able to receive life. And only God is the source of life. And that's why for Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, to say, I am the resurrection and the life, He's claiming deity, divine person. Now, if He's not, if a person falsely claimed to be divine, it's an abomination before God. But if He is, and that's what we learn from the complete canon of the Word of God, that Yeshua indeed is the Son, the eternal Son. That's why Isaiah so clearly said in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. and a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gibor, the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. Earlier in chapter 7, we read very clearly, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is to the house of David. Behold, the virgin, the Alma, shall conceive and bear a son, and what's she going to call him? Emmanuel. How can a virgin conceive and bring forth a son? It's not possible unless it is a supernatural birth. And the baby that was born, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, was the one that was born in a supernatural way without any sin, any sinner involved in that. It was through the seed of the Ruach HaKodesh, the seed of the Holy Spirit of God, that Miriam gave birth to the man, Yeshua, and he was sinless, undefiled. He was the God-man who came to provide salvation for us. I am the resurrection and the life. Anochi hatkuma v'hachayim. In Hebrew, he said, and so notice what he said to her, he that believeth. This is so beautiful. Verse 25b and verse 26, the Lord Yeshua explained, he explaining the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. Notice, he says in verse 25b, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. An unbeliever who is dead spiritually and then believe in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, will live spiritually and die no more. Let me remind you, my dear friend, in verse 25b, when the Lord said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here he is speaking about spiritual death. Let me remind you that all of us, by nature, were born into this world spiritually dead. Why? Because we have inherited the sin of Adam. And as Adam, when he sinned, he died spiritually. Simply mean he was separated from God spiritually because he was fleeing, he was hiding behind the trees, he disobeyed God. You and I receive the same sin nature. That's why when a baby is born into this world, this baby is spiritually dead. That's why he need to be alive spiritually to trust in the Messiah, receive forgiveness of sin, and receive spiritual life. The Apostle Paul explained it very well when he wrote to the Corinthians in writing to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Mashiach, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In other words, when a person is in the Messiah, in Christ, he becomes a new creation. He receives new life. As we have already read in John chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, he very clearly said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3 of John 3. In verse 5 of John 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And that's what happened to anyone who would believe in Yeshua the Messiah. That's why he said in John 11:25, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, dead spiritually, yet shall he live. You know, there are people today in the world in which we live in, and you and I were just the same. We lived in this world. We went to school. We went to work. We lived our life, and yet we are dead spiritually if we are not believers in the Messiah and our sins are forgiven. Millions are like that today. Though they live, they function, they move like us all. We were all in the same condition, yet they are dead spiritually. No relationship with God, no forgiveness of sin, not hope behind the grave. That's the condition of all the human race. Paul said to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, he reminding them, never forget. And you has he quickened, this is spiritually a quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. So he reminded us all, and we ought to be remembering that we were dead spiritually, but Yeshua the Messiah came. And he provided redemption for all of us because he died on the shameful tree. That's why he's saying now, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is verse 25b. Notice he continues in verse 26. Now believers who have died physically like Eliezer will rise again to die no more. That's why he said in verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? Now notice what he says. That the believer in Yeshua the Messiah, he shall never die. What does he mean by that? Does that mean that we don't go through the process of natural death like Lazar, Eliezer here? No, we're all going to go through the process of death because we live here in this world and it is appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9. The wages of sin is death. That's why our bodies getting older and weaker and ultimately we die physically. But if we believe in Yeshua the Messiah and we have now life, spiritual life, we will never anymore be separated from God. That's why Yeshua in verse 26 is moving from the unbeliever who was dead spiritually and he became a believer, he will live spiritually, and now whosoever is now living and believing now, this is the believer, shall never die. Do you believe this? He's saying to Martha. This is fascinating. It is amazing. So once we became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, even though we're going to go through the process of physical death, yet eternally we will never be separated because death means separation. Even though we will go through the process of physically dying, yet the soul and the spirit will go to God, to go to be absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus the Messiah. And one day at the resurrection day, at the rapture of the assembly, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Yeshua, the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. These principles, these truths are fundamentals to understand, my dear brothers and sisters. And so now notice, in verse 27, Martha affirmed her faith in Yeshua the Messiah as the Son of God. Notice what she said. She said unto him, yes, Lord. She called him Lord. Adon in Hebrew. Adoni, my Lord. I believe. But notice what she says. I believe that you are Christ, the Christ in Hebrew, the Mashiach, the Anointed One, and the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed what the Hebrew scriptures declare in various passages in the history of Israel. The prophets of Israel did proclaim that the Messiah will come and that he will be the Savior of the world. Amazing. I believe that you are the Messiah. Let me just remind you, my dear brothers and sisters, that Daniel received this revelation from God in Daniel chapter 9, and there Daniel received this information concerning the Messiah. It says in verse 25, now therefore, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Mashiach, the Prince, Mashiach Nagid, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even unto troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Isaiah 53 verse 8, that he will die for the sin of this world, and specifically in the context for the sin of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 53 tells us this in verse 8. He was taken away from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, he died, out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The Messiah, the Mashiach, would come and die for the sin of the nation of Israel, but for all the nations of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, in verse 28 to verse 37, Miriam is coming out to meet Yeshua. Now the second sister. And you notice, Martha went, she called Miriam in verse 28. And when she had said so, she went her way. She called Miriam, her sister, secretly. And she said, the Master is come, and he calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and she came unto him. Here now Miriam coming to Yeshua the Messiah. Now Jesus was not yet coming to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him, because he was still just approaching, and they told her that he came, and Martha came to him, and now Miriam coming to him to meet him. Then you notice what it says here. Then the Jews, this is the Jewish people that came to the home to sit Shiva, the 7 days, with the family, to mourn with them, to identify with the family in their sorrows. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and they comforted her, when they saw Miriam, that she arose and hastily went out, they follow her, saying, she's going now to the grave to weep there now, in verse 31. And then we read, listen to this, in verse 32, Miriam is now finding herself now once again at the feet of Yeshua. And Miriam was come where Jesus was, and when she saw him, notice what she does. She fell down at her feet. She fell down at his feet. You know, this is so interesting, because we find 3 times this expression that Miriam is found at his feet. In John, we find here in John chapter 11, verse 32. In John chapter 12, notice the next chapter, verse 3, it says, and Miriam took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed his feet, the feet of Yeshua, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Once and again, we find Miriam at the feet of Yeshua. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, we also read, and she had a sister that is called Miriam, which also sat at Yeshua's feet, at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. You see, once we find her at his feet listening to his word, the teacher, the rabbi of rabbis, the Messiah, the Mashiach himself, who is teaching. In John 12, she is pouring ointment upon his feet. And here, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, once again she fell at his feet, just away from the house where Yeshua was arriving to the town of Beit Onya. Amazing. What a place to be at the feet of the Lord. Can you imagine how wonderful it is to sit at Yeshua's feet? It is our choice today to sit at his feet and to learn from him as the Mashiach, our Lord and our Messiah. What a wonderful thing it is to sit under the sound of the word and to learn of him. Learn of me, he said in Matthew 11, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My dear friend, it is the best place to be as learners at the feet of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we continue to read. Again, notice now, as she was at the feet, she said the very same expression that her sister said earlier. Lord, Adoni, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Here's the faith of Miriam. Even though she didn't come immediately to him as Martha went, she was waiting in the house. Yet both of them, different personalities, but yet both of them trusted that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Lord and the Messiah. And so in verse 33, Yeshua is comforting her, responding to her. He said, Yeshua is really responding, and he was really moved with deep emotion. Notice that. This is a very interesting verse. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. Now look at the compassion of Yeshua. And he saw the Jewish people weeping. Imagine the whole Jewish community is weeping in the town of Bethany. He was so, you might say, fulfilled with compassion. And we notice, beloved brothers and sisters, that as he saw everybody weeping, can you imagine Yeshua, who just said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you think he can go to a funeral service? When he knows the reason that death came into this world, the wages of sin is death. That's the reason why he came to this world, to bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, if they will only believe on him. So notice how he saw the Miriam weeping, he saw the Jewish people who came, the families and all those who were involved in that Shiva sitting there mourning the loss of Eliezer who died. They were all weeping. And then notice he groaned within the spirit and he was troubled. He was really a spiritually charged. And he was groaning within the spirit and he was troubled. Now again, sin brought death. And the reason that he came, that he might die for the sin of this world. And notice what the cause for sin brought death and weeping and sorrow and trial in this world, because God said, it was he who said to Adam, when he created Adam some years earlier, he said, the day that you will eat out of this tree, dying, you shall die. Mot tamut. And look what disobedience brought upon all of us. We all have sinned. We all have inherited the same sin nature of Adam, because death passed upon all of us, because all have sinned. Paul reminded us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. He said, wherefore by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin. And so he said, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, you and I sinned. If you and I were there, we would have done the very same thing. We would have disobeyed God. This is what Adam have done, and we are looked upon as if we have been in Adam disobeying God and falling into this sinful state which brought about separation, spiritual death, physical death, and ultimately for those who do not believe in the Lord, eternal death, eternal separation. And so we read now in verse 34, he said, where have you laid him? Of course he knew where they laid him, but he asked from them, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come and see. And one of the shortest, in fact the shortest verses in the scriptures, in the Brit HaChadasha, in the New Covenant, is Jesus wept. Yeshua bacha, vayivkeh Yeshua. Amazing to see this passage here, to remind you that Yeshua wept earlier, Luke 19 and verse 41. We read, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. This is the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it. You remember what we read? He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, This is in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34 and verse 35. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophet and stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time that you're going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Now he's weeping over the situation that existed there by the family of Eliezer, when he saw the consequence of sin that brought death, and the families are mourning and sorrowing, sitting for 7 days, Shiva, mourning the loss of their loved one. And he's sad to see what's going on in our life today, my dear friend, that we lose loved one and some pass away, and especially if they are not believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. How sad that they will end up to suffer eternal separation from God. And Jesus wept. Yeshua bacha vayivke Yeshua. Then the Jews said in verse 36, behold how he loved him. See, they recognized that Yeshua, Jesus, loved Eliezer. You notice in verse 3 of the very same chapter, we read, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. In verse 5, we read, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved the whole family. He loves you and he loves me. Paul, Shaul said, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved the church, the assembly. In Ephesians 5, we read, Christ, the Messiah, loved the assembly, the church, and gave himself for her. He loved the nation of Israel. We read that, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking on behalf of the God of Israel. And in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The love of God is incredible. The love of Yeshua HaMashiach is beyond measure. Behold how he loved him. So verse 37, some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should have not died? Notice what we read in verse 38, 39, and 40. Jesus, therefore, again groaning. The Hebrew word, lehizaim beruho. He was groaning within himself. He came into the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Yeshua said, take ye away the stone. Take the stone away now. He didn't have to say, take ye away the stone in verse 39, because he is not limited to anything, no stones, no walls, no limitation. Nothing can limit him from the ability to raise the dead. But he wanted them to participate. He wanted the Jewish people, the family, to participate in viewing and seeing that his word is indeed true, that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. So Yeshua said, take away the stone. But notice what Martha said. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, she said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. This is verse 39. In other words, 4 days have passed by. In Hebrew we call hu nivash, you know, when a person is dead for 4 days, what would happen to the body after 4 days? And that's why the word nivash, or decay, is this time the body is decaying. And the King James tells us, he stinketh, he is decay. The word here in the Greek is ozo, O-Z-O. In other words, her odor is terrible by that time after 4 days.
And then verse 40, and I will conclude with this, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear friend, and we will leave the rest of the resurrection of Eliezer to the next message. Here we read, Yeshua says unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God? The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, wanted them to just trust Him. And by asking the Jewish individuals there who came to mourn with the family of Eliezer to take away the stone, He wanted them to participate in observing and experiencing what He's just about to do to raise Eliezer. He didn't have to take the stone away, but He wanted the people in the city of Beit Onya to participate in that and see how gracious God is and how He indeed is that resurrection and the life. And we have already seen in verse 27, she said unto Him, yes, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said in verse 40, as I said, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And He is about to show to them the glory of God. Kevod ha-Elohim, the honor and the glory of God, in raising this man by the name Eliezer. Dear brothers and sisters, what an encouragement we see here from the Lord. Not only that He sought to develop the faith of the disciples in Him, but here in verses 17 to 40, Yeshua the Messiah is seeking to develop and to mature the emunah, the faith of the two sisters of Eliezer, namely Miriam and Martha. Well, may God help us that we will also grow in faith and trust in the Lord and appreciate who He is and what He has done for us when He paid for our sins on that shameful cross some 2,000 years ago. May the Lord bless His word and encourage each and every one of us, dear brothers and sisters and dear friend. And until the next time, I will say to you, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, Shalom.